I want to continue a study I've been on built to last. Say built to last. We want our lives, at least I'm sure, and I do, I'm sure you do as well. You want your life to not just last for like a long time, but also to be effective for generations. And I'm taking my time in this area to talk about built to last in the context of our relationships. And the principal relationship we need to have is with Jesus. God is so relational that you can't even relate to him without having a relationship with the Son Jesus. That's how important relationships are. And we're going to talk about, as we began last time, how having the Spirit and embracing the Spirit of forgiveness, say forgiveness, is key to living a life that lasts. Again, it's not just I'm going to live 100 years old kind of thing, but it's effective, it's fruitful, and it lasts beyond you into generations to come. Your children, grandchildren, even those who may not have any children, you may not plan on having any children, you have a legacy to leave to other people, other adults and so forth, other children. It's a legacy. You see, God thinks about impacting the earth with the people that are here. This is what it's all about, really. It's about God getting a people he can train, prepare to impact other people in the earth. This is why we have churches to help us grow and develop, but then go out in the various parts of the world where you work, where you serve, where you do things, to impact them and help them solve their lives by them coming to Christ and following you as well. That's really what this is all about. A church is not a sorority or a fraternity or a social club. It's about a place to get prepared, a family community, if you would, so when you go out, you can be effective.
Amen.
Because if it's just left with us and it dies with us, then God says, I made an investment in you, and it doesn't go beyond you.
Wow.
It's not good.
Amen.
You don't think it's good. Think about it. Amen. Any investment doesn't go on, continue on, and keep bearing fruit. So what we're talking about is focusing on an area that is oftentimes not talked about much. It's not addressed often in a deep way, and that is living a life in a spirit of forgiveness. We all have to deal with it, you all. We all have to deal with being offended ourselves, being hurt ourselves, at sometimes multiple times, many times over our lifetime. And if we don't learn to deal with it, it piles up. Say piles up. I've been pastoring for 30 years, many of you know, because we're celebrating 30 years this year. But before then, I was involved in ministry, very active, for at least 15 years before that. I was an elder in our church. One time I headed up 7 different departments, I was all volunteer. I didn't get paid. So I'm working with people who were volunteers. I'm seeing people's lives. I'm seeing things. And people are people, no matter what color they are, what gender, they're people. And one of the most common things with all of us is how we handle or don't handle well relationships. Say relationships.
Relationships.
And I'm talking to Christians. And those may be watching, those may be here, may not be Christian yet, then you can become one. But I'm talking to people who how God's focusing on right now, because he's the one we can work with, who said, I'll follow you, then you come to his class, so to speak, church, and read the Bible. Now you can grow. He can work with you. Mm-hmm. Okay? If we don't get it right, there's no hope for the world to get it right.
Well,
if it's not working well for us, and you hear things, church hurts kind of stuff. I get it. Guess what? Church has people. So you don't get married, you don't want to have kids because you may get hurt? No, we have to learn to deal with the challenges people have, and we bring to the table as well. But if we don't deal with it properly in a biblical way, which involves forgiving and loving and embracing it as a God-honoring value and tool we can use to build and strengthen and repair relationships and let God complete what he started, then we really, in most cases, wasted our time.
Wow.
And we don't want to have our time wasted. So I'll reference a passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49, and I'll just quote it and reference it. But Jesus is talking, but before he said that, he says in verse 46, he says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? And then he says, let me share about this man who comes to hear me, and he hears me, and he does what I say in the word of God. He's the doer of the word. I'll liken him to a person who builds a house on a strong foundation. He digs deep. Say, digs deep. We got to go deeper in the word, my friend. We have to be more studious, literally, about the scriptures. For some of us, we may have to develop our reading skills so we can read the Bible more. Develop a love for reading. It's studious. A disciple is a disciplined one.
Amen.
And I'm not standing from a perspective that I'm trying to get you to do stuff. I want to provoke you and share with you the value of learning more about God. And one of the important areas is embracing forgiveness. And it's all throughout scripture. There's explicit examples of it, but also in lives of people where it worked well, where it didn't work well. We can learn, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love because you know what? I don't want to end up like that. Or I do want to end up like this. Are you following me?
Amen.
That's why the scripture so it has people's lives and their journeys. But also those commandments, the scripture that Jesus talks about, we should do or not do. And it's important we embrace that so we can live this abundant life.
Amen.
Say abundant life.
Abundant life.
I mentioned earlier about being open. So God, many of you came, and what you're about to hear today, you really need it. And I'm happy. I need it too. Amen?
Amen.
But let's look at James chapter 3. It says here, who is wise and understanding among you? He's asking that question. He says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Say meekness of wisdom.
Meekness of wisdom.
Notice meekness. Soft, open, meek, humble, meek of wisdom. Wisdom is meek. He goes on further in verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Sometimes the strife that we have is because of is selfish ambition. You got to be, I recall my son Aaron, he was playing football and he was kind of starting out, so he was kind of scary cat. He was fast, so he ran a lot, but he did really well and got a scholarship to play football in college. But you know, a lot of kids starting out, they don't know how to play football. But you have a parent over here, how come my boy's not in there? It's all about you, man. None of them know what to do, what they're doing. He went the wrong way. My boy know where to go. I'm a parent. I had a meeting. I called a meeting. I said, look, the coach is doing the best job he can do. I'm happy he's working with my son, okay? You ought to be happy, too. Let him work with him. Let him work with him. But see, this selfish ambition brings a strife. Like you see on some of the television, on YouTube, these parents fighting one another. Because they don't understand this, that you don't want to go there because it causes problems. We're going to show you more in Scripture. And if we are Christians, if we're in this flesh, so we all can get angry and say things and do things, and people may do stuff to us or cause problems in our lives, but how you respond to it is huge. Because we'll set the pattern for our children. People we don't talk to no more. We don't call no more. We don't invite to the special occasions like the weddings and graduation parties anymore. And our children see that. We're teaching by example. It's impacting generations. And I'm going to share it with you. It disrupts the plan of God. And that's not good. It's not good for us. Because God is very intentional about what he's doing. And so our lives don't work well because we don't flow with the purpose of God. And if we don't begin to forgive and love more so, and I'm not saying this, you're watching online just in case you're thinking, why am Pastor talking about this? We have a lot of problems? No, we just got people. People got problems. Okay. I have nobody on my mind. God put this in my heart because it's foundational for us to build, have a life that's built to last. Are we always starting all over again with new friends and new husbands, new wives? And there's a spirit on this house that's talked about in the book of Malachi that will restore the hearts of the fathers turned back to the children, the heart of the children turned back to the fathers. That's all about relationship restoration. Say relationship restoration. Look at verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Say demonic.
Demonic.
Wow. And that can be in our house. We have strife, confusion, arguments. Now, you won't have it sometimes if you're breathing, okay. But oftentimes, it's not good. We got to be able to work it out and listen and help one another. So strife and conflict is not from the spirit of God, but the spirit of the devil. Wow. Say the spirit of the devil. Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And the King James says, every evil work. That could be in your bedroom with you and your spouse. Could be in your car. I recall Vanessa and I, we had the children. We were living in Linwood at the time. And I haven't started the church, but, you know, we're going to church and, you know, Christians and so forth. We tithe and, you know, the devourer is supposed to be rebuked, but I'm walking the strife with my wife, though. So we're on. You know, we had a couple of those. We had one on the freeway, and then got bumped. Aaron got bumped, I think, and then
was it
Manchester?
Yeah.
I'm going on Manchester, drop my kids off at my mama's house, spend time with my wife, and we got this argument back and forth in the car, a little station wagon, Volkswagen Dasher. And I'm driving, she's sitting right here, and I see this car behind me. I'm at a red light. I see this guy in my rear view mirror. He's listening to music, and he's speeding, and he's not even, he don't know the light's red. He's behind me, and I'm watching him. By the time he saw me, he's like 30, 40 yards away. Boom! Child hit the windshield. It was the grace of God, we didn't die. Grace of God, we weren't seriously hurt at all. And I realized, God, I'm sorry. I realized it was strife that opened the door. Strife opened the door. So I don't leave my house without making up. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Not on L.A. freeways, no. See, if you don't understand this, you wonder why some folk die and have tragedies. And even some diseases, it's because they haven't learned to deal with these unsettling elements that happens with relationships that don't work well. We have to learn how to mend them and how to restore them and how to strengthen them. So we carry it. We walk with all this strife in our heart. So you wonder why the arteries are all clogged up. Some of the diseases, emotional and mental, we're carrying this load. We're not designed to carry.
Amen.
And it goes on for generations because we show our kids what to do by actions. And so God wants us to be built to last. The house we're building needs to be lasting and last well. And oftentimes our marriages don't work, especially when they don't work, starting off they don't work. You know what? They don't know how to get along. They had good objectives. But guess what? Put them in the same room, in the same house for a while, they're going to have conflict. They have to learn to work it out. Say work it out.
Work it out.
And the Bible is full of it. Examples. Soft answer turns away wrath.
Yes.
It's in the scripture. But you got to go deeper to read it on your own and let it really minister to you. That's not just so-and-so need to hear that. No, it's to me too. A soft answer. Say a soft answer.
Soft answer.
You got to, and see, that's why as you grow stronger in the Lord and deeper in the word and be a doer of it, you just kind of put your body in check. You want to say something, but I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to walk outside in the backyard and talk to the Lord and come back in a few minutes. Because you'll say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And something you may regret.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Death and life are in the power of the words we speak, the tongue.
Amen.
I mean, you may say, I'm sorry, but some stuff you say, it may be hard for folks to get over. You may want them to get over it, but you said it, like I recall I was counseling a couple, and the man, he's in my office, he turned over to her and said, I don't love you, I never loved you. I don't know why I married you. And then after she leaves him, he wants her back. She was through. Those words. He kept writing letters because he would call and tell me, Pastor, I'm crying, Pastor. He wrote told me this letter. It says, I don't want to hear what it says. When I come home, I want you to be gone and leave me and my son there by ourselves. You be gone. Words. Christian, here almost every Sunday. Died young too, by the way. She's still living, got her new husband. Yeah. Talking about built to last. If we don't deal with this sobering, important, foundational topic, then this is the kind of stuff that why people don't get it between among Christians, because this is dysfunction. This is dysfunction that we all can grow and do better in. Amen? Both my hand goes up. I'm still growing too in this area. Unless we work at it and be intentional about it. Amen. And then say, I'm going to say nothing. Oftentimes I'm writing emails to people. And when it's kind of sensitive, I may take 25 to 30 minutes just reviewing and editing before I send it out. Because I'm thinking about it. I didn't always do that. How will it be received? What's the tone? I mean, to me, just tell the facts. But now folks need to feel the tone, too. Yeah. and then that you support them, you love them, and you appreciate what they did, but can we fix this and do that? Are you following me? Mm-hmm. These are skills we can develop, and a lot of it is the spirit. It's the spirit of just being grateful. Like I said last week, being grateful that you've been forgiven of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
God keep giving you 200 chances. Why not give your brother some? That's the idea. But if you're not grateful, then you'd find like, they deserve it. That's wrong. No. In fact, some folk would come against you and you walk in with God, you ought to have pity on them. Because they're messing with a fellow brother and sister in Christ. And you know your heart's right. You know you don't deserve it. You ought to pray for them because they crossed the line.
Yeah.
At UCLA, we're young Christians. And there's a lady, she kind of didn't like our leader, our Bible study leader, Joan Williams. And she was winning people to Christ and football players and stuff, and she was coming against her. And make a long story short, one time she called Joan in an elevator because she was going to our Bible study. She came to Bible study all frustrated. Oh, pray. I said, what's up? Pray for so-and-so. Mentioned the young lady's name. We all knew one another. And he says, she just about to beat me up. She threatened to beat me up in the elevator. Y'all need to pray for her. It wasn't a month, probably less than that. She lost her mind. It was two of them. They had to be expelled from UCLA because they was doing so many crazy stuff. I'm telling you, Bible says, don't touch God's anointing. Guess what? You're anointed too. So you don't wish that on nobody, but when you go against Christians, that could be a former Christian wife or a brother and sister, they're Christians. They may not be super mature, but they're Christian.
Well,
we take communion, it says, as often as you do it, do it as unto me, in remembrance of me. But with these things, they're sick and weak. Some sleep, die prematurely because they don't discern the Lord's body. People that are in the Lord's body. That means your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mother and your father, who claim to be Christ, Christians, are part of the Lord's body. If we don't get this, we wonder why bad stuff happened to Christians. It's not God doing it. He just pulls back. You got to understand sin. Sin is such an evil thing. Such a repulsive thing to God. He gets far from it. And if it's in our life, we may not consider it sin because we used to have strife in our family, in our relationships. To us, it's natural. You know, we go sing in the choir. You know what? No. And God is sin. And so that's why bad things happen to Christians. I want to minister to you and minister to me. And again, this is something we want to be built to last. Say, built to last. Sometimes you got to deal with stuff that is not nice. But when you rebuild in the last, you got to deal with it.
Amen.
And you'd be glad you did.
Amen.
Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there would be disorder in every vile practice, verse 17, but the wisdom from above, say wisdom from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, say open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Notice open to reason. Say open to reason.
Open to reason.
That's huge. We all have ideas. So we all think a certain way about things. We want things to be done. And I get it. I get it. But can you be open to reason? Because unless we be open to reason, and the King James says, easily to be entreated. I know you don't like it that way. I know, but can we just, I know you want it done in 30 days, and I get it done in 60. Can we maybe get it compromised at 40? No, I want 30. You know what? If you do that every time, then now your relationship is tarnished. There's no compromise. Say compromise. Josh talked about a few weeks ago about divorce. That's not God's plan, but because the hardness of the heart, he compromised. He worked with us. I don't want to kill one another, so we can work with you. And in relationships, a lot of it's about compromise. Doesn't mean you're a chump and they take advantage of you. You work out a place where you can move forward together. The world does this all the time. It's called negotiation.
Amen. Yeah.
Can we work it out? Can we talk about it? Can we reason together, the Bible says? But if you have no, you're not open to reason, that's a problem. Amen? And that's why, if you don't understand, this is all biblical, because God's dealing with people that come to him all kind of ways, all kind of histories, all kind of background, all kind of culture, all kind of families, and now we're a mixed bag. And so his way, it says, well, as you keep growing and learning me, you walk in freedom. You start laying aside some stuff, you learn some things, do better, and now you're freer and you're enjoying this abundant life and you're building your life to last for generations. The wisdom of God is open to find an acceptable solution, even a place of compromise for the greater good of God's plan. Read that out loud with me, please. One more time. I don't know how many men have told me, normally men tell me this, over the years of pastoring the church. If pastor, if I knew then what I know now, I'd be married today. And oftentimes it's having learned to compromise. Verse 16. And a harvest of unrighteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Say, make peace.
Make peace.
This is also huge. Jesus said, blessed is the peacemaker. Wow. Say, blessed is the peacemaker. And I understand, you know, how people are. I don't want to get involved in people's business. You know, I don't like to, you know, get involved. They're kind of messy and all that. But you see that your aunt and her sister can't get along, and it blows up in the Christmas parties and all that, and you have relationship wealth with them. They love you. You love them. So maybe you can help them get together and work it out. Because it's not just for them; it's for the entire family.
Amen.
It's for generations. Everybody's seeing it. It's messy. Is so-and-so still there? Yeah, I'm not going. I'm around the corner. Let me know. Call me when she leaves. Yeah, you know what goes on. Jesus says, blessed is the peace what? Maker. Now think about it. He used the word blessed. Blessed is a powerful word. Favor, the goodness of God and a favor of God. But when you make peace, I put such value on peacemaking, I'm going to bless you for it. We need to have great value on making peace with one another, other people, our bosses, co-workers. And we have to learn skills, maybe, you know, do that as well. A soft answer turns away wrath. Hear them out. Give you a point. It may not be accepted. They may not get it yet. You know, maybe come back to the table a little bit later, work it out. It takes time. Your objective is, that's why the Bible says, love never fails. Let's keep doing it. Love never fails. Just keep doing it. Love never fails. I can tell you, my wife and I can tell you, my friend, we're not perfect, but people may have had issues with us or over the years or have misunderstandings. We do all we can to reach out and work it out. And I can tell you, probably 99.9% of the time, it works out with people, even if it takes a couple few years for it to work out. That's it. Amen. You got to work at it. Yeah. You can't say, I called, I tried. You know what? God is, he didn't stop on me and you.
Amen.
We want open to God. I don't want to do that church stuff. 20 years went by. Then you said, yes, Lord. He didn't say, no, it took too long. He don't do that. Why should we?
Amen.
Say, blessed is the peacemaker. Say,
I will.
Be a peacemaker.
And be blessed.
Yeah. See, sometimes we want the blessing of, you know, in other areas of our lives. But this one on relationship can kind of spoil everything else. The money is now funny because the relationship is not. And it may not be with family. Maybe it was other folk at the job. But generally, people are creatures of habit. What you do at the job, you know, take it home. And vice versa, right? It's kind of quiet today. But it's good. I trust you. My heart is a loving heart. I know it's sensitive, but it's needed, y'all. And you know what's needed? Can I get an amen for anybody out here? I said, well, come on, you know what's needed. I seen my mother and my grandmother fight like cats and dogs when I was a small boy. My mom's holding my baby sister. I think it was Irene. She's crying. I'm crying, looking at him. My mom wanted the love of her mother. My grandmother had issues. Major issues. So my mom would go by the house and they won't open the door for her. She's going out the door in the big house off there in Jefferson and Western, right behind Fatburger. That was that big house, a couple of buildings off, rooms, houses over. That's where my grandmother lived. Big house. But she wouldn't receive my mom. When my grandmother died, my mom was there, and she was one of the last ones to leave. She was at the grave just crying, God. I seen it. And it's generational. Impacted a lot of my mom's kids and some of their kids, some of my cousins. We have to work it out and realize the curse stops with me.
Amen.
You got to make a decision. The curse stops with me. It's a curse. It's designed for us to not be functional. It's designed to be a bad witness. It's designed to we not be built to last. And therefore, ultimately, the purpose of God gets held up. It's not going to stop it. It's going to get held up maybe about 50 to 100 years or more. Because Christians haven't learned this area. I mean, I know pastors. I mean, I'm not saying I'm so perfect. I mean, that's my wife and my kids. They know I'm not perfect. But I know pastors, they have issues, major issues with other people, other pastors, other ministers. This is why I kept saying, being open, God. Be open. Mm-hmm. This is why just this worship piece is huge.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God, do something in my life, God. Sing a song like, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Songs like that. Simple song. It's not the top two. And I know it don't get there. Probably never was there. But it's an earnest heart song. It says, God, do something. I got to go deep. Jesus said when he announced his ministry in Luke chapter 4, I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
He didn't say the blind eyes. He didn't say the legs. He said the heart. And we got to deal with this. And some of our dysfunction is issues beyond the person you're having issues with. It's not them at all. It's the four or five folk before them they got problems with. They haven't resolved. And they're carrying it. They're carrying all this, and they're boiling over with frustration. It had nothing to do with you. It's other things going on. It's a disappointment. Why? Because this didn't work. That didn't work. It's all behind, at some level, relationships.
Amen.
At some level.
Amen.
Because you can fix it through a new relationship. But if you can't work that one, then it's going to be another one that's let you down. And then some folks just check out of life, and again, you know, I don't talk, have no friends, I'm good, okay. I'm well in Montana somewhere, I'm good. You know what? Okay, that's what you like, but why is that important to you now? being by yourself. Because you can't get along with people. Because we're designed to be around people. So we settle and call it, this is me. Yeah, that's what, no, you weren't born that way. That's what you became.
Amen.
So we're all, yes, that's why I keep praying for Bishop too. Because I want to keep growing, y'all.
Amen.
But I have to deal with the reality of life. And so I can't teach it all that you need to know. Josh can't do it all on a Sunday morning. So how do we do it? You go deep on your own. You're reading the Bible and you realize, oh, yeah, that's in there. Well, that applies to me. I didn't fix that. Okay. Yeah. And then now you start changing. Amen. Bible says lay aside every sin, every weight. Some things are not sin. It's a weight. It's holding you back. I want to move forward, but to keep. And see, sometimes if you need to hear God tell you that. Maybe not even a minister. The Holy Spirit says, son, daughter. See, that's you. That's you. Oh, it's going to come out through his word. And he'll confirm it by when you read it. If you're not a Bible reader, that's a problem. I'm going to say it again. If you're not a Bible reader, that's a problem. Because you can't tap in. Oh, yeah. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God, it says.
Yeah.
Through the knowledge. I don't like to read the Bible. It's too difficult. You didn't say that about your math class. Even though it's a little difficult, you did it anyway. Mm-hmm. Do it anyway. Say, do it anyway.
Do it anyway.
You got to see the value.
Amen.
Let me wrap up here, final part. Talk about Joseph. This is powerful. Joseph in the Bible, in Genesis, you can read about him in I think, the 45th chapter on of Genesis. It's about, he's a young boy around, picks up around, he was around 17 years old. His father favored him, loved him. He had these 12 sons, different women. You know the story, right? I got sisters and brothers and different fathers. I understand. But he favored one, and he favored Joseph. Now, Joseph had a brother named Benjamin, and they had the same mother, so they were really close. I'll come back to that in a moment. So he kind of was favored by his father, but then he had this dream that God gave him at 17 years old that he'll be exalted upon high and people will bow down to him, even his parents, even his brothers. And when he told his brothers that, they were mad. He told his daddy that. He said, what you talking about? That's my version. What you talking about? Okay. And then his father sent him to go check on his brother because he felt like they weren't doing the job that they shouldn't be doing. Come, go check on what they're doing. Let me know what they're doing. Well, he already told his brothers about the dream, and they didn't like him. And then they even hated him the more. Now, he's 17 years old. He's still developing, okay? So he's kind of mouthy, taking advantage of his favorite we have with his dad. And he didn't mind telling on his brothers anyway. Nah, 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 nah. You get it? Then his brother got mad. They were going to kill him. One brother stood up, don't kill him. Sell him, or his caravan, sell him. We make some money on him, sell him, and he went to Egypt as a slave. And he got resold to Potiphar and became a slave there. And they told the father the animals ate him, and he had his jacket, his coat, and it was all blood. And said, see, animal ate him, he died. Father sad, but he's dead. Joseph goes, fast forward a little bit. Pharaoh has a dream, because he went to prison. He didn't deserve that. And he had a dream. Pharaoh had, and the only person that can interpret the dream was Joseph. He interpreted the dream and basically said, there'll be 7 years of famine, a plenty, excuse me, and 7 years of famine. During the 7 years of plenty, put 20% aside. Say 20% aside.
20% aside.
So when it's bad times are coming again, you'll be able to handle it well. That's the wisdom of God today.
Amen.
Put something aside. Say put something aside.
Something aside.
When the good times are rolling, put something aside. Don't spend it all. Why? Because bad times are going to be coming again. It's been happening. That's his way of life. Okay? So he rewarded him by making him governor of Egypt. So when bad times happened, because they put stuff aside, Joseph was the one they went to get to buy corn and things they needed. Well, it was bad, real bad for Joseph's family. He didn't know what was going on with them because he's been sold as a slave. He grew up in Egypt now. He's 30 years old now. 30 years old. governor of one of the largest nations on earth. And his brothers were sent by the father to go buy some grain because they're starving. They could probably end up dying out there. Please follow me, because it impacts generations. Forgiveness. And so they came and they didn't know Joseph was the man. They went to the man, they didn't call him Joseph because he had learned a new language. And so he talked to his brothers through an interpreter. They didn't recognize it was even him. Probably had a beard, probably strong and buff and all that. And you know, you got to, he kind of looked like him, but I ain't him. And then he kind of messed with him. Joseph kind of put a little hard a little bit at first. And kind of checked, you know, and they kind of got afraid of him. So he said, go get my baby brother, Benjamin. So he brought Benjamin back. This is the point I want to bring out. When he saw his brother Benjamin, he cried so high, so loud, so hard. Ah! It said all the servants in the palace heard him cry out. Then he spoke in his language, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, who you sold as a slave. He had a point, a chance right there to either say, I'm going to put you in prison. You're going to pay for what you did to me. I was in prison because I didn't deserve it, but because of you. I struggled because of you. I could have died out there because of you. He didn't do that. No. This is what he said, talking about this. See, it's a legacy for forgiveness. He said, it wasn't you that brought me here. It was God. He saw the bigger picture. Let me make it just clear. It wasn't that God brought him there to go the alley route. Because he was mouthy, he went the alley route. If he was smart, he would have went the boulevard route, the front door. It was God to get him there, but how he went was up to him. Sometimes we end up getting there, but we realize, how did it be so hard? Your mouth, your attitude. Thought I'd add that. He said, it wasn't you that brought me here, but God. And then he said this, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and give you a great deliverance. And God gonna use me. That's why you got that good job. That's why God give you make more money. That's why God put you in a position of influence. To be a deliverer and a blesser to others. He understood it. How much more should we operate that way? When we don't restore relationships, be peacemakers, we hinder what God wants to do for generations to come. Because of that restoration, Jacob and his kids would have died in the famine, and the promise God made to Abraham would not have happened through them. Yeah. It would have held up what God was doing, and I don't want to hold up what God is doing. I'll say it again. It would have held up maybe for generations, maybe for centuries, what God was doing, and I don't want to hold up what God is doing in my life. In my family. It's always bigger than us. So, the next time you're faced with a situation where you have an opportunity to forgive and reconcile, think about, if you don't forgive, what part of God's plan are you holding up? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. About to pray. Father, we thank you. We open.